Radio Prague News.
The Prime Minister has indicated that Culture Minister Jiří Besser will likely be asked to resign when he returns from the Vatican on Wednesday. Public tenders worth 2 billion crowns were apparently manipulated by a hacked computer program used to draw the winners. And around a fifth of the Czech Republic's teachers are set to strike for 1 hour on Wednesday morning. Prime Minister Petr Nečas has indicated that Culture Minister Jiří Besser will likely be asked to resign when he returns from the Vatican on Wednesday. On Tuesday, Prime Minister Nečas said he had a clear opinion on the continuation of Mr. Besser in his cabinet, but would share it with him rather than the media first. The Top 09 party is reportedly already discussing who to name for the position of Culture Minister. On Monday, Mr. Besser apologized for having failed to include property and business ownership in the U.S. in his property statement, but said he was innocent of any corruption. He said that if anyone could produce incriminating evidence, he would resign upon completion of his negotiations with the Vatican. Mr. Besser's former business partner, Pavel Hrach, told the Czech press on Tuesday that the minister's involvement in their U.S.-based firm was intended to help Mr. Hrach secure property in Florida. Pavel Hrach, a longtime friend of Mr. Besser's, says that the culture minister's participation in the Comoros Group was as a guarantee so that he could purchase the $230,000 house in Florida, which Mr. Besser later failed to include in his property statement. He also said that Mr. Besser visited the residence once or twice a year. Those oversights have put Mr. Besser in the center of corruption allegations since they were discovered last week. Senior members of Mr. Besser's party, Top 09, said they were content that the culture minister had not intentionally committed any wrongdoing, but were more perturbed by his business association with Mr. Hrach, who was recently convicted of corruption. Mr. Besser said he had not been aware of Hrach's corrupt activities. However, it later emerged that Mr. Hrach had also been convicted of a similar offense in 2003. Public tenders worth 2 billion crowns were apparently manipulated by a hacked computer program used to draw the winners. Police told TV Nova that software intended to select construction companies at random had been rigged in order to give particular outcomes, potentially influencing all types of public projects in more than 36 communities. All evidence was automatically deleted from the laptop computers running the draws. Roughly half of the cases involved money from EU funds. Police have yet to charge anyone in the matter, though Nova reports that three companies in particular are under suspicion. Around a fifth of the Czech Republic's teachers, some 20,000 people, will be participating in Wednesday's hour-long strike, unions report. As many as 1,600 schools will remain closed until 9 a.m. on Wednesday, when the government is set to discuss changes to teachers' salary tables. Another 1,000 schools will open on time but will not hold class for 1 hour. Most of the striking schools are in northeastern and south Moravia, with considerably less participation in Prague. The unions are protesting a proposal to leave teachers' salaries to the discretion of headmasters rather than their length of service. The proposal would affect primarily older teachers, whose statistics show make up more than half of the teaching force. In theory, many teachers could lose 4,600 crowns off their pay, the unions have said. Social Democrat Deputy Chairman Jeroným Tejc has been elected to head the party's parliamentary club, replacing party chairman Bohuslav Sobotka. Mr. Sobotka recently left the position in order to concentrate on his primary post and on next year's district and Senate elections. Mr. Tejc, who was the only candidate for the senior party post, received 48 of 51 votes, according to the Daily Pravo. The artist known as Roman Tietz has been sentenced to 1 month in prison for failing to pay a fine imposed for one of his stunts. The best known of the Stohoven guerrilla art collective, Tietz was fined 60,000 crowns in 2007 for replacing the red and green figures on dozens of pedestrian crossings with various ridiculous images, legless or hanged men, for example. The judge admitted that the public had appreciated the fact, but said the city had incurred damages of 82,000 crowns. The artist publicly refused to pay the fine, explaining that he had, quote, set the figures on the signal lights free. Stohoven and Tietz have been in court on numerous occasions before, most notably after hacking into a live weather program on Czech television and broadcasting an atomic explosion. Now turning briefly to the weather, conditions over the coming days are expected to be mostly cloudy, with scattered rain and snow and daytime highs of between 2 and 5 degrees Celsius. My name's Christian Falvey. That's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. My name is Pavla Horáková. In today's program, as Standard & Poor's puts almost all Eurozone countries on credit watch, the Czech Republic is bracing for the worst. The state-owned carrier Czech Airlines says it will dismiss a third of its pilots. We have the details. And in Czech history today, the artist who turned puppets into film stars. We look at the life and work of Jiří Trnka. All that and more coming up, so please stay tuned. Standard & Poor's fueled fears of a crippling economic crisis in Europe on Monday, issuing a dire warning of an unprecedented mass downgrade of Eurozone countries' credit ratings if EU leaders fail to deliver a fast and efficient solution to the region's debt crisis. Although France and Germany promptly threw their weight behind a reform plan which would reinforce governance within the alliance, skepticism remains high, and even non-Eurozone members, such as the Czech Republic, are bracing for the worst. Daniela Lazarová has the story.
The gravity of the situation was clearly apparent on Monday as German Chancellor Angela Merkel and French President Nicolas Sarkozy rallied behind a last-ditch attempt to restore confidence in the battered Eurozone. The solution presented is tighter financial governance within the alliance, which would prevent other member states defaulting, a plan which would require fundamental changes to the Lisbon Treaty. President Sarkozy said on Monday broad support for the reforms would be welcome.
Notre préférence va vers un traité.
Our preference is for a treaty with all 27 members so that no one feels left out. But if that is not possible, we are ready to seek endorsement by the Eurozone's 17 members alone.
À passer par un traité à 17.
The Czech government's EU secretary Viktor Belling said that while not a Eurozone member, the Czech Republic was not ruling out support for a proposed change to the treaty.
At this point, we are not opposed to proposals for change as such. There are no a priori taboos in this respect.
However, confidence in the Eurozone's ability to ride out the storm is clearly low, and the government's Economic Council is bracing for the impact of a severe recession on the export-dependent Czech economy, including the possible collapse of the Eurozone and a subsequent credit crunch. The government's Economic Advisory Board has drafted 4 crisis scenarios with over 30 emergency measures, which would see the country through bad to disastrous times. They include enforcing a balanced budget by law, introducing a unified 20% VAT, or a 3-day working week. Fearing what the future may bring, Czechs have started saving their money big time.
That report by Daniela Lazarová. Now, the struggling state-owned carrier Czech Airlines announced on Monday it will dismiss a third of its pilots as part of restructuring plans, with some receiving their pink slips as early as this week. According to the firm, up to 100 pilots will be let go, although the company suggests some may find a silver lining, the possibility of further employment with subsidiary company Holidays Czech Airlines. The catch is that working for the subsidiary will be nowhere near as lucrative, offering significantly lower salaries. Jan Wellinger has the details.
100 pilots out of 300 will be let go in the coming days and weeks, Czech Airlines announced on Monday, saying the move was needed as part of restructuring plans and making no bones about it. The hard-hit airline, which operated at a 632 million crown loss last year, needs adjustments in the face of a drop in demand and is curbing the number of pilots and planes, 11 short and medium-distance aircraft in its fleet, in response to current economic realities. The 11 planes are to be offloaded to Holidays Czech Airlines, a subsidiary charter firm. Therein lies the rub for the CZ ALPA, the pilots' union, whose members are up in arms over restructuring plans they charge will eventually drive the carrier into the ground. Its pilots took carefully coordinated sick leave last week to protest the changes, which led to the cancellation of more than 30 flights on Thursday and Friday, forcing Czech Airlines to temporarily hire replacements. The announcement on Monday that the company will dismiss 100 of its own pilots is at least in part punishment for the protest, the pilots' union spokesman Philip Gaspar said.
We knew that the move was coming based on a decision approved by the management. And when you look at management's statement from Friday, as well as comments made by the finance minister, it is clear which pilots will be the ones let go.
But Czech Airlines denies the move is personal. According to the carrier, those dismissed will depend strictly on the labor code. Representatives argue the move, as well as the offloading of 11 planes, is strictly to help the company regain stronger footing. What's more, the firm points out many of the pilots let go will still be able to retain jobs at Český Air Holdings Holidays Czech Airlines. Jiří Marek is the Czech Airlines Vice President of Sales and Marketing.
It's no secret that there is a crisis in Europe and in the Eurozone, and ČSA is only planning according to long-term developments. If there is not enough demand for Czech Airlines, but there is in the subsidiary, it makes sense to transfer the 11 planes there. At the same time, the move will save jobs.
Maybe so, but ties between the firm and the pilots' union now couldn't be frostier, after members were excluded from talks on Monday where the dismissal plan was discussed with employees. It is unclear how many pilots let go will apply to continue with the subsidiary firm, but the union has made clear that at least some, upset with Czech Airlines management, will hold further protests soon.
Jan Wellinger reporting. Now it's time for Czech history, and today we look at the life and work of Czech artist and puppeteer Jiří Trnka.
It would be hard to meet a Czech whose childhood was not touched, perhaps unconsciously, by the art of Jiří Trnka, a painter, puppeteer, illustrator, and above all the founding father of Czech animated film. His poetic drawings brought immortality to books that would otherwise be long forgotten. And his animated films bestowed dozens of puppets and drawings with life. Jiří Trnka was born in 1912 in Pilsen, and as soon as he could hold a pen in his hand, he spent every spare minute drawing. He was also enchanted by the world of puppet theatre. Trnka studied at the University of Applied Arts in Prague and afterwards made a living by illustrating books. But he always dreamt of setting his drawings in motion. For a while he ran a wooden puppet theatre on Prague's Wenceslas Square. Finally, in 1945, he and his colleagues founded their own studio. Its current director, Zdena Dajčová, has worked there ever since it was established in 1945.
I came to the studio in the year just after the war, in 1945. I came there just directly from the art school and started there as a beginner. So I met Jiří Trnka, who was symbol of a great artist, great illustrator, and everybody in the studio in those days looked at him really with a great admiration.
Among Trnka's young admirers was Přetislav Pojar, one of the living legends of Czech animated film.
He was a little bit my teacher in many, many ways. He was really a complete artist. And what I learned with him is how to do the things, how to do the conception of the things, and how to do the scenarios.
The Bratři v triku, or Brothers in T-shirts studio, as it was called, became the birthplace of the very first Czech animated film.
The first film which we did is animation. It was fairy tales, Jak dědek zasadil řepu. And the next one was Liška a džbán, and third was Zvířátka Petrovští. Those films were based on Czech fairy tales. And this third one won the prize, it was in the year 1947 or 48 in Cannes, and this was a big celebration for the studio because we got the first prize. And in those days, nobody knew that in Prague there is a studio which has over 100 people, and I think that this was a great thing for us, and de facto this film put us on the map of animation.
As soon as Trnka established himself as an animator, he and his closest colleagues, including Břetislav Bojar, moved on to set up their own studio of puppet film. Trnka worked literally days and nights, and within the next 20 years, his studio produced dozens of films.
I was very often going to Bartolovnická street where there was a studio, and I admire him because he was painting both hands. He was working left hand and right hand, and it was absolutely fantastic to watch his skill. And I think that nobody else, I would say, can put such a imagination, such a beautiful, warm touch in those films as he did. Really, it was really beautiful.
Kam se dáš cestou k zahradám, kam se dáš cestou k lesu.
At the same time, Trnka continued to illustrate books such as fairy tales by Hans Christian Andersen, The Grimm Brothers, The Tales of a Thousand and One Night, and a great many more. But probably the best known is Špalíček, a collection of rhymes and fairy tales by František Hrubín. And then, of course, Zahrada, The Garden, written by Trnka himself. It tells a story of five boys exploring a mysterious garden inhabited by a morose old tomcat. The book features typical Trnka figures, short and stocky with big round heads and muffled hair. Edgar Dudka, author of a monograph about Trnka, says he managed to maintain his unique style of illustration, even in his puppet films.
This style of his book illustrated, he transferred into puppets, so they are very typical, you know. If I see a Trnka's puppet, you say, ah, that's Trnka, you know, because his roots are in Czech village, you know, in Czech culture. So those puppets of Trnka are villagers, you know, short legs, you know, such as farmers, you know. So it's just lovely, it's a special style. That's why on that first after-war festival in Cannes in 1940, he won, his fairy tale won Grand Prix, because it was something new, you know.
Actually, Jiří Trnka himself has always reminded me of his drawings. He was quite a remarkable figure, rather large with bright blue eyes, an impressive scar on his cheek, and a long moustache, not unlike the whiskers of a tomcat in the garden. The figures in Trnka's films are mostly silent, as he preferred music to the spoken word. He would often discuss it with his composer before he even started writing a screenplay.
Trnka doesn't like dialogues, so that's why his emphasis was on music, animation with music. And he was lucky because his friend was very fine, very brilliant Czech composer, Václav Trojan. In all his films, just exception one, music was done by Václav Trojan. Even they had some sequence of a film ready, animated, you know, and Trojan came with the music. That music wasn't so exactly on this scene. So they changed the scene, animated once more on that Trojan music, you know.
To byl totiž rybář, měl ženu a oba bydleli na břehu moře ve velké lahvi od octa.
One of the few exceptions were films dubbed by Trnka's good friend and neighbor from Prague, Skampa, the actor Jan Werich. He dubbed the fairy tale Goldfish, and he also lent his voice to a puppet version of Good Soldier Schweik. Trnka, in return, illustrated Werich's collection of fairy tales entitled Fimfarum. Despite having worked on so many children's books and adapting dozens of fairy tales, Trnka's films were never addressed exclusively, if at all, to children. I remember being scared as a child by the somewhat somber mood, underscored by Trojan's expressive music. Only 2 years after establishing the puppet film studio, Trnka and his friends completed their first puppet feature, Emperor's Nightingale, accompanied of course by Václav Trojan's music. And 10 years later, Trnka produced what is regarded as his masterpiece, a puppet adaptation of Shakespeare's A Midsummer Night's Dream.
It was some possession to bring the puppets in the world of big art, to start with small team, to finish with Shakespeare.
It was a miracle in that time, you know, because everybody imagined puppet theater, you know, marionettes or this, you know. This was a puppet which acted like human beings. So it was amazing, it was surprising.
Unfortunately, Trnka's remarkable work tempo took its toll. He died in 1969 at the age of only 57. Yet, in a span of just a few decades, he managed to do what others don't achieve in a lifetime. Even today, in the age of computer animation, his films continue to capture viewers with unmatched poetry and tenderness.
That edition of Czech History, written and presented by Ruth Franková, was first broadcast in November 2007. We are now running off our regular weekday program with a rerun of Sound Czech, our Czech language program brought to you by Daniela Lazarová.
Ten příběh, který uvidíte, a co tak divně začíná.
Welcome to another edition of Sound Czech, Radio Prague's Czech language course, in which you can learn useful phrases through song lyrics. Today's song is from the very first Czech musical, Starci na chmelu, or The Hop Pickers. The song is called The Story You're About to See, and the phrase to listen out for is jeden za osmnáct a druhý bez dvou za dvacet.
Jsme přece jeden za osmnáct a druhý bez dvou za dvacet.
Jeden za osmnáct, druhý bez dvou za dvacet literally translates as one is worth 18 and the other 20 minus 2. In other words, they're both exactly the same, or six and one half dozen of the other, as they say in English. Usually, this saying carries a negative connotation in Czech. If you hear a woman say that about her ex-husbands, then you can be certain they were both dolts. A simpler way of saying the same thing, and one that does not carry a negative connotation, is jeden jako druhý. One is just like the other. They're like peas in a pod. Have another listen to the original phrase.
Jsme přece jeden za osmnáct a druhý bez dvou za dvacet. A byla by věc nerozumná.
Czech is a language rich in idioms, and you will find there are plenty of colourful phrases to choose from when you want to say that one thing is like another. The most common is to je prašť jako uhoď, which refers to hitting and striking being the same thing or having the same effect. Two rather quaint old phrases are to je na jedno kopito or to je na jedno brdo. Both were coined sometime at the start of the 20th century, or maybe earlier. One relates to shoemaking, the other to weaving. Kopito is a cobbler's last, and it refers to making things from the same mold. Brdo is a harness used for weaving, and it also refers to making uniform products. In other words, jeden jako druhý, or jeden za osmnáct, druhý bez dvou za dvacet.
Jsme přece jeden za osmnáct a druhý bez dvou za dvacet.
It's quite possible that a seamstress coined a similar phrase at some point in time, because another way of saying that two things are very similar or identical is to je to samé v bledě modrém, or literally, well, that's the same thing in pale blue. It's the same thing in a slightly different shade. When you want to say that no matter which course of action you decide to take, it will amount to the same thing or the same end result, you can use the phrase vyjde to na stejno. In other words, it will turn out the same way, 18 or 20 minus 2.
Jsme přece jeden za osmnáct a druhý bez dvou za dvacet.
And that brought us to the end of today's Czech lesson. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for learning Czech with me and naschledanou.
That was Daniela Lazarová with Sound Check, wrapping up Radio Prague's English program for today. Don't forget that this program is also available online at www.radio.cz. If you have any comments or questions, don't hesitate to get in touch. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or by post at Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague 2. But for now, from me, Pavla Horáková, and the rest of the team here at Radio Prague, thank you for joining us and goodbye.